This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alaykum wa rahmatullah. Everyone who's joining us for day number 10 of Ramadan 360 with Al Maghrib Institute. This is Al Maghrib's daily programming in the month of Ramadan, every day from 5 p.m. EST to 6:30 p.m. EST. Alhamdulillah, we have a robust community here on Zoom that's warming up with me as we do every day. If you have not yet registered, the link I think should still be in the description for Ramadan 360. So that's ramadan360.org. If any case, inshallah, make sure that you do join the community. You get lifetime access to all these session recordings. You get access to a private Telegram community, Q&A forum to submit questions to our Sheikh Waleed, who does our fatwa nights. Alhamdulillah, there's so much I can't even summarize it within a few sentences, but there's a lot going on. Make sure that you do join us and that you still spread the word. We've been passing the first 10 days of Ramadan now, but we still have 20 days. We still have the bulk of the month remaining, and it'd be beautiful to have you join us for this community. As well, we're going to be quite busy the next 10 days, because as we do every year now, alhamdulillah, we have the 10-day Quran challenge that is beginning tomorrow. The time raced by, alhamdulillah, inshallah, with Imam Wissam Sharif. That's at Quran Revolution. Let me just put that .com/challenge. Typing in myself. And I'll drop that here in the chat. On Zoom, actually, you guys don't need to worry about it. You can just share this with your friends and family. That's QuranRevolution.com/challenge. And that is where we're going to be spending 10 days perfecting our recitation, falling in love and spending, time, but not falling in love, generally falling in love with the Quran and spending time with the beautiful community that's celebrating it together. I love this time of year, and I love specifically the opportunity that the 10-day Quran challenge gives to people from all walks of life, all experiences and relationships with the Quran, to recite it in ways that with passion and excitement and skill that they've never experienced before. So make sure you do join there and join us live, inshallah, for tomorrow's challenge. That's going to be at 1 p.m. EST, inshallah. Don't miss it. Make sure that you're joining, especially those who are registered for Ramadan 360. There's a separate tile on Zoom that you have to, on the portal that you have to click to join it. I'll show you guys afterwards again as a reminder, but do make sure that you're clicking through there and that you're joining. And there is a separate Telegram group as well for the 10-day Quran challenge. And you'll get reminders and all that fun stuff, inshallah, tomorrow for that. Now, today's session is with someone who's very special to us here at Al Maghrib. Sheikh Abdur Bar Yahya is actually one of our foundational instructors here at Al Maghrib Institute. He's one of the OGs, I think the first four that began teaching along with Sheikh Muhammad al-Sharif, rahmatullah. And he was he's taught some of the first ever courses with Al Maghrib. More recently, he's taught Beautiful Patience, Echoes of the Cave, which we just finished for Al Maghrib virtual seminars, which was on the Tafsir of Surah Al-Kahf. And then you can look out for him, inshallah, he's coming to Al Maghrib online very soon with the Purification Act, which for those of you who've been taking classes with Al Maghrib, we've done a Fiqh of Salah class recently, we did a Mindfulness and Salah class recently, and I know the Fiqh of Tahara ties in very closely, so look out for that. I know that's been requested highly to come back soon, so I'm very excited that he's going to, inshallah, be introducing that. And he's also recently taught a live series on Faith Essentials to prepare us for Ramadan. He's our hidden gem here at Al Maghrib, so I can't wait for you guys to hear from him, inshallah, because it's such a unique experience. He's got so much energy, so much intensity, and today is going to be a very exciting session, inshallah. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah to everyone saying their salams in the chat here. Hajra, Saira, Atika, Ladan, welcome, welcome, welcome. It's nice to have representation, mashallah. Lots of Brits staying really consistently joining us. And then, of course, the Malaysians, the Indonesians, the Singaporeans, the Australians, always surprising us in the best way, mashallah. May Allah reward you guys for your consistency. It's amazing to see. It's inspiring, to be honest, to see as well. Of course, this entire experience, Ramadan 360, has been brought to you by Al Maghrib. Our goal has always been to make Islamic knowledge easy and accessible. We've been around since 2002, alhamdulillah, celebrating over 20 years of existence. And alhamdulillah, we started off with on-site programming. Now we've been doing online programming, virtual, live, recorded, filmed, on-site, on location, so many crazy things happening. And there's, mashallah, well over 8 programs that Al Maghrib is consistently doing throughout the year. So to learn more about them, make sure that you're visiting almaghrib.org and you can see what's happening local to you soon, inshallah, as well as, mashallah, we have online on-site classes coming back with a bang. We have 15 classes that our scheduled post Ramadan already. And that's just in the next couple of months in big cities worldwide. So make sure that you are keeping up. There's so much going on. Sometimes we forget what's happening, even staff members. We can't even keep up with all the amazing content and the barakah filled kind of environment that we're in, alhamdulillah. But I do encourage you guys to check it out. And a little bit later, I am going to introduce you guys to one of the kind of best kept secrets in Al Maghrib, which is our all access pass that becomes available just in the month of Ramadan and at the end of the year. So there's only a couple of opportunities to take advantage of it. And some of our most consistent students here are always our all access pass students, mashallah, who are there with their cameras on every single session, ready to go, who've been kind of taking advantage of the kind of the abundance of access that they have to everything that Al Maghrib offers, alhamdulillah. It's not live just yet for the public, but inshallah, it will be very soon. So I hope that you guys do take advantage of it, inshallah. And I know there's a lot of returning All Access Pass students who joined us after we first started Ramadan 364 short years ago. Umm Ibrahim, that's a great question. Where is the spin the wheel? To be honest, the spin the wheel can be a little bit hectic to coordinate every day. So we haven't done it for this year. But I know there's got to be some important occasions that we got to pull it out. So just bear with us, inshallah. It is a lot of fun. So inshallah, there's been a few activities that I've been flirting with the idea with bringing into these sessions. So that will be one of them. But if you have any suggestions, requests, we love to hear from you guys, your feedback and your what you're interested in, inshallah. And we'd love to honor that as well, inshallah ta'ala. All right, guys. I see you're having a lot of fun in the chat here. I do want to thank once again all of you guys who have been consistently watching and welcome all of you guys who are new to the experience and give a quick shout out, of course, to the amazing friends at our charity sponsors for Ramadan 360 who make this possible year after year. In the US, we have HHRRD, Helping Hands for Relief and Development. And in Canada, we have Islamic Relief. And in the UK, we have Forgotten Women. Their links, as always, are linked in the portal. They're linked as well in the description box if you're watching on social media, please support them consistently throughout this month. They do great work. They do all the hard work on the ground. We just reap the rewards of it. So may Allah make it easy for them. May Allah allow us to facilitate their good work, inshallah, consistently throughout this month. Ameen. And I know the Sheikh, alhamdulillah, is waiting with us, alhamdulillah. Sheikh always outdoes. We taught him how to use a camera and set up a background, mashallah, and he just ran with it. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Sheikh Abdul Bari Yahya. How are you doing today? Oh, I can't hear you just yet. Sorry. There we go. Hold on, let me see. I think that mic might not be connected just yet. Man, mashallah, this mood lighting. The instructors are just year after year getting better and better. No, we still can't hear you, Sheikh. I think it could be the mic connection. I'm going to make sure I have my audio. Can everyone else in the chat let me know as well if that's the same case from your end? It's not just my laptop. There is no audio coming in just yet, right? Okay. Jazakallah khair. Thank you for your confirmation, guys. Okay, I think Sheikh, you're just troubleshooting, so we'll give you a second, inshallah. Sometimes it's as simple as just the mic not being selected for the session. So we'll start in just a second. Mashallah, look at this background. We got two potted plants, we got wall stuff on the walls, and then we have this moody screensaver, mashallah, on the TV there. That's the Sheikh Abdul Bari Yahya does know how to set the scene. It's the plans for me. It's everything, mashallah. Yes, he is unmuted, mashallah. The background is amazing. Inshallah, we'll just sort that out. Just give us 1 second. And then as soon as we've got it, inshallah, we'll kick off the session. Once again, this is day number 10 of Ramadan 360. That means we've crossed the first third now, inshallah, with today. Tonight is going to be the 11th Tarawih. I know, sorry for the Singaporeans, Malaysians, Australians, etc. It might be your 11th day technically now easing into. There we go. I think we hear the
Sheikh. Are you able to hear me now?
Sure. Yes, perfectly. Alhamdulillah. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mashallah. Alhamdulillah. Let me just turn up your volume because I can barely hear you. Okay.
Inshallah. Oh, no. Okay. Alhamdulillah. All right, Sheikh. It's such a pleasure to have you back with us for Ramadan 360. A few short years ago, it was only Ramadan 360 that we saw you on. And now, alhamdulillah, we've got you teaching classes for virtual, inshallah, after Ramadan as well. We have you for Faith Essentials. And now we're back for the fourth year in a row. How has your Ramadan been going so far, Sheikh?
Alhamdulillah, it's going well, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
It's, mashallah, it's couldn't be better, mashallah.
Alhamdulillah, that's amazing to hear. Now, Sheikh, you have an amazing topic for today, so I'm excited to jump into it, inshallah. You're going to be covering a divine prescription, the ayah of Ramadan, and I'm going to let you jump into it, and then we'll catch you at the end for our
Q&A. All right, we'll get to it, inshallah. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأصلي وأسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد الله سبحانه وتعالى he says and this is of Surah Al-Baqarah of course we're covering ayat number 187 Allah سبحانه وتعالى says بعد نعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم أحل لكم ليلة الصيام الرفث إلى نسائكم هن لباس لكم وأنتم لباس لهن علم الله أنكم كنتم تختانون أنفسكم فتاب عليكم وعفى عنكم فالآن باشروهن وابتغوا ما كتب الله لكم وكلوا واشربوا حتى يتبين لكم الخيط الأبيض من الخيط الأسود من الفجر ثم أتموا الصيام إلى الليل ولا تباشروهن وأنتم عاكفون في المساجد تلك حدود الله فلا تقربوها كذلك يبين الله لكم آياته للناس لعلهم يتقون Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, أُحِلَّ لَكُمْ لَيْلَةَ الصِّيَامِ It has made permissible for you. It has been made permissible. What does it mean by it has been made permissible? أُحِلَّ لَكُمْ This is in the passive voice. When أُحِلَّ لَكُمْ is used, it is made permissible for you. Meaning before it wasn't permissible. So what happened? And how was it? What was it that wasn't permissible? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُحِلَّ لَكُمْ It has been made permissible for you. لَيْلَةُ الصِّيَامِ The night of fasting. What is the night of fasting? Most of us, you know, in the West, we think about the night of something. The night comes after the day. So like Thursday night, the day, Thursday becomes before. But in Islam, of course, the night comes first. So when you say لَيْلَةُ الصِّيَامِ It is the night actually before before the day of the fast itself. So, أُحِلَّ لَكُمْ لَيْلَةَ الصِّيَامِ الرَّفَثُ الرَّفَثُ In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions الرَّفَثُ And الرَّفَثُ here means to be intimate with your wives, meaning to have marital relations. الرَّفَثُ can also mean anything that's also before that. So, when was this and how did this verse, in which circumstances were they revealed? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he prescribed the fasting of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامِ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ Just like it was prescribed upon those before you, so that you may be, so that you may, in hopes that you may have taqwa. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he says, كَمَا, just like, well, just like the people of the book. So, even in the characteristics. So at the beginning, fasting was a little bit different. There are certain rules that were just a little bit more difficult for a person to fast. And so how was it a little bit more difficult? Well, if a person were to, you know, as Al-Bara ibn Azib, he said, كان أصحاب محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إذا كان الرجل صائما فحضر الإفطار فنام قبل أن يفطر لم يأكل ليلته. He said, whenever a person who is fasting, whenever iftar came, if iftar after he had iftar and he slept, he couldn't eat anymore. And or if it was time for iftar and he had slept, that means that was the end. You couldn't eat after you sleep. And so that was the rule at the beginning. And so he was not allowed to eat that whole night. And he would have to wait till the next day. The next day. And this reminds me, I just want to share with you a story that, subhanAllah, just happened this Ramadan. It was just a few days ago, in fact. You know, there are a couple of brothers in our community that have recently accepted Islam. And of course, they have never fasted the month of Ramadan before. And so this is their first year of fasting Ramadan, the first time fasting. And, you know, someone, he just accepted Islam like a few months ago. And He doesn't know much about, of course, the detailed rulings about fasting because it's his first time. And so I asked the brother about how he's doing, right? How's his Ramadan going? And, you know, the first time he says, it's okay, alhamdulillah. And then the next time he came and he asked me a question about, you know, when does he have to stop eating? And then I told him, you don't have to stop eating until Fajr time. And there was a smile on his face. And the next day, I think two or three days later, he came back to me. And he said, Sheikh, I just thought I would never be able to fast the month of Ramadan at all. Because the first day when I fasted, what he thought was, he thought that after you ate your iftar, that you couldn't eat anymore. That was the only opportunity that you had. And you know what kind of iftar we have, right? And you know, like especially in the masjid, or you know, when you're eating before Maghrib, it's just a light, you know, something very, very light. It's not very heavy, most of us at least. And then we go and pray. And that's all he ate. So that's all he ate. And then he continued his fast. And then the next day he had, you know, he was so tired. And he had such a massive headache that he says, you know, I don't know if I can make it for the rest of the month. Like, this is really, really tough. Really, really tough. And until he came to me and he asked when he can stop eating, that he was so happy. Like, he was so, so happy. And the next time he came again, I asked him, I was like, how's your fasting? He goes, alhamdulillah. Imagine eating only a little bit and then not eating again until the next day. That's tough. And it reminded me, of course, of this verse also, of how the companions were so happy. They were so happy when this particular verse was revealed. And we don't realize it. You know, I always read it and they say that the companions were extremely happy. فَفَرِحُوا بِهَا فَرَحًا شَدِيدًا. Al-Bara ibn Azib, he says, when this verse was revealed, we were so happy. We were extremely happy. You just read it, right? And you don't feel it. But when you see a brother that says, I was so happy that I was able to eat up until Fajr time. And he says, alhamdulillah, you know, it makes it so much easier. But alhamdulillah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep the brother strong. And also, Al-Bara ibn Azib, then he said, when a person used to fast, he wouldn't be able to eat anything else. And then there was a companion. He said, وَإِنَّ قَيْسِ ibn Sirma al-Ansari. There was a companion by the name of Qais ibn Sirma. From the Ansar, and he was fasting, and so when it was time for iftar, he came home to his wife, and he said to her, "Aindiki ta'am?" He says, "Do you have any food? Do we have anything to break our fast with?" And she says, "No, but you know, I can let me go find some food for us." Like, I want you to really think about that. Like, subhanAllah. The houses of the companions, and some of the companions were so poor that when it was time for iftar, they did not have anything to eat. Right? So the wife says, "We don't have anything." And imagine he's come home from a hard day's work. You know, you're tired, and he's hungry, and so she goes. She goes to look for food. And then when she comes back, she finds that he's already slept. He fell asleep. He was so tired that he couldn't stay awake. He fell asleep, and she said, "Khaybatan lak, what disappointment for you. What disappointment. He's waiting for this food." And she's able to find the food. And then she comes home and her husband is sleeping. Imagine how sad she is, because... You know how she knows that he can eat the food still. She hasn't fallen asleep yet, but he's already slept. That means his time for eating is over. And so the next day, Qais ibn Sirma, Of course, he has to go back to work, and it shows also, subhanAllah, like, you know, the companions didn't have, they were so poor, they didn't have any food to start with in the house, and they worked the field the whole day sometimes. It shows how hard they used to work and how little that they have. And so sometimes, you know, whatever you have of the iftar, whatever you have to eat, you know, be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't complain, because look at the companions. Look at this household, did not even have food to break their fast with, subhanAllah. We should be extremely thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessings that He has showered us with, so many things, this in our age. And so he went, of course, the next day, you know, he hasn't eaten the whole day, and then he's gone through a whole night without eating, and now he has to continue fasting the next day without eating. And so he fainted when he was working. And so it was mentioned, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard about it, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse, "Uhilla lakum laylatus siyam ar-rafathu ila nisa'ikum." And then until the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Wakulu washrabu hatta yatabayyana lakum al-khayt al-abyad min al-khayt al-aswad min al-fajr." Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, of course, "Wakulu washrab," and eat and drink until it is clear to you, al-khayt al-abyad, the white strand from the black strand. So until the black streak and the white streak is clear to you, meaning eat until Fajr. And so the companions, they were so, so happy. فَفَرِحُوا بِهَا فَرْحًا شَدِيدًا. So because why? Because there are two things that were haram before. If you were to sleep, of course, you couldn't do anything. You could not be intimate with your wife. You couldn't have marital relations with her. And of course, you couldn't eat after you've fallen asleep. And so this was at the beginning. And when you think and reflect upon that, it's a little bit difficult, right? Because if you fall asleep, a lot of us, you know, we take suhoor for granted. But this, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse, this was the first time that that actual suhoor, you know, it was established. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the difference between our fasting and the fasting of the people in the book is the eating of the suhoor, the eating of the morning meal right before Fajr. And so this, next time you have suhoor, and you're sitting down and you're seeing that food, or you're able to just drink water, just water. Imagine you go to sleep, and you know how sometimes you wake up in the morning and your throat is just dry. Your throat is just dry. And imagine that you couldn't drink anything. You have to go the whole day with that dry throat. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful, so gracious. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the suhoor and allowed us to eat until Fajr. So the next time, don't take for granted that glass of water that you're taking, that you're able to gulp, and drink in the morning. And, you know, this is, of course, this was a nasr. This was known as in ilm tafsir as nasr, which means an abrogation of a previous ruling. And one of the wisdom is to help us to appreciate the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because when you go from difficulty to ease, then you appreciate the ease so much more. You appreciate the blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us. And that's why, you know, one of the things that we have to really, you know, be thankful for. And also there's so much blessing, not just in the suhoor itself, there's so much blessing in it, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna Allah wa malaikatuhu yusalluna ala al-mutasahhirin." Allah and His angels, they send salawat upon those who make suhoor. I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions them to the angels. Imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning your name. And, you know, people who are looking for likes on social media, or they're looking for followers on social media, Imagine those who would get up in the morning. And you know, sometimes like the for us in our time, we understand it, like, you know, how amazing this is. During the time of the companions, you know, they didn't have social media and anything like that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning, like, you know, to the angels, they're like, maybe it's a small group of angels, but no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just like us, when something goes viral and someone becomes famous and everybody knows them, imagine those in the heavens, they know you because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned you because you were amongst those who woke up early in the morning to supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to have suhoor, because inna Allah wa malaikat, and the angels also make istighfar, a salawat from the angels, is they're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. So there is so much blessing. And also in the suhoor and eating that morning meal. And, you know, if you can't go viral on earth, inshallah, wake up in the morning. All of you guys go viral. All of us go viral in the heavens, inshallah, to the angels. Such an amazing hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, such a blessing for those who wake up in the morning, have suhoor, and such a wonderful, wonderful, you know, blessing that we should be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. And so going from difficulty to ease, one of the wisdom of the nasr, the abrogation of a ruling before, is to help us appreciate some of the things sometimes that we take for granted. And Ramadan helps us to appreciate many of the things that we take for granted every single day, just the regular meals and food and drinks, and you know, just being intimate with our wives anytime. We take that for granted also. And so at the beginning, the verse, this verse, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed it, the word min al-fajr was not there. Min al-fajr means, you know, this is the streak or the streak, the white and black streak of fajr, meaning of the dawn. That wasn't there. The only thing that was there was وَكُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمُ الْخَيْطُ الْأَبْيَضُ مِنَ الْخَيْطِ الْأَسْوَدِ. And eat, وَكُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا. Eat and drink until it is clear to you. That means until you know that, until you can distinguish the white streak or khayt means a strand also. A streak or a strand or a thread. And so some companions would take two threads, and other companions, they would take a white thread and a black thread. And some companions would take the iqal. Iqal is what they put on the, you know, you see someone in the Arabian Peninsula or Arab countries, you see them wearing that black thing on their head. That's called an iqal. That used to be what the Bedouins and the people in Arabia used to tie their camels down. Why? Because you couldn't find trees to tie your camels to. So what you do is you put that on the knees when the camel is sitting, then you insert it to the knees, and it cannot stand up as a result of it. And so that was that's some of them, they would take the white iqal and the black iqal, and they would then be able to try to figure out whether it was still permissible to eat or not by looking at it. Because at nighttime, when you're looking at two objects, you don't distinguish the color of these objects, and you don't distinguish until there's a little bit of light. And so, especially in the old days when they didn't have any light at all, and you know, they did not have any light, you know, like you know, electricity and so forth. So if you don't, in the streets, of course, it's pretty much dark. There aren't any street lights and so forth. And so you wouldn't be able to figure out. You wouldn't be able to figure out and distinguish the colors unless it became a little bit bright until you had some light. And so when they would not eat until they would be able to distinguish, and that's how they interpreted this verse that was revealed. And so Adi ibn Hatim, he said, when this verse was revealed, I went and I took two iqal. One white and one black, and I put it under my pillow, I put it under my pillow. And every single time I would wake up, I would look at these two iqads, these two, and I would check to see if I could distinguish between them or not. And if I was able to distinguish between the white and the black, then I would stop eating. And if I could not distinguish between the black and the white, then I would continue to eat. And I would continue to eat. And so he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He told the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam what he did. You know, and then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Inna wisadatika al-arid." He said, "Indeed, inna wisadatika al-arid." He says, "Your pillow," because he put these two streaks under his pillow. He said, "Your pillow must be huge, humongous." And so it looks, you can tell this is the humor of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, "Your pillow must be huge." Why? Because if you're able to put the streak on the horizon under your pillow, your pillow is the size of the horizon. Your pillow must be huge, right? And so imagine Ali ibn Hatim, you can see what are you talking about? My pillow is just a regular size. Like I said, if you're able to put the horizon under your pillow, that means your pillow must be huge. So because he said he put these the two streaks under his pillow. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, he said, this is the streak of day and the streak of the night. That means when you look in the horizon in the morning, what do you see? In the morning, or when before Fajr, usually there's one streak that goes vertically. That's not the streak that is the streak of Fajr. Right? That's called Al-Fajr Al-Kadhib. The streak that is the beginning of Fajr is when the streak is horizontal. You know, it goes from, when you look on the horizon, it goes horizontal and it fills the whole horizon. That streak fills the whole horizon. It's not just part in a certain area only. And so that's the beginning. And so that's what it means. And so many of the companions, it wasn't just Adi ibn Hatim. A lot of the companions understood the streak to be a thread, because the word khayt means it's a thread or a string or a strand. But it means it's the streak of the horizon. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clarified it to them. And so this verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Uhilla lakum laylatas siyam ar-rafathu ila nisa'ikum." It is halal for you. It is halal for you. Ar-rafath, as I mentioned in this verse, it means marital relations. But ar-rafath can also mean anything that leads to marital relations. And so this particular verse, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is halal for you to have marital relations or to have intimate relationship with your wife during the nights preceding the fast, right? So laylatul siyam, the nights preceding the fast. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a beautiful, this verse to describe the relation, a beautiful description of the relationship between husband and wife. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Hunna libasu lakum wa antum libasu lahun." Hunna libasu lakum. They are your clothing. They are your clothing. And meaning libas here, libas is there your covering or your garment. Wa antum libasu lahunna. And you also are a garment or a covering or clothing for them. But the word libas has so many meanings that's why it makes this verse exceptionally beautiful. And also this particular verse is a verse that is just the description of it is so powerful. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they are your clothing or they are your covering, why? Because first of all, you need each other. No, everyone needs companionship. Everyone, you need your spouse. You need your wife, and your wife needs you. So the need, the need for each other is just like the need for clothing. You don't just like you can't. It's not acceptable, right? It's difficult. I mean, it's not even acceptable to go out without clothing. Or without proper clothing, you have to have You have to have clothing. So the need for it, right? The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Hunna libasu lakum. Well, he mentions it right away after mentioning, you know what? Before, it was not permissible for you at nighttime to sleep with your wives. And now it is permissible for you. And why? Why is it permissible for you? So the reasoning is because they are your libas. They are like your clothing for you. Like, you need clothing. You just can't go out and walk around without clothing. And so the need for it, you know, that is something that, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he mentions this, it's known as this, the scholars of tafsir have mentioned this as a ta'lil, that means it's a reasoning for it. A reason for the halal, for the fact that your marital relations is now halal, and at nighttime. And so it shows that a person's need for food and drinks, and also to fulfill their desires, is it's a need that, you know, everyone has, and that's why it's a sunnah of the prophets and messengers of Allah, and the Deen of Allah for us to have spouses, and those who have spouses that pious spouses, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, and those who do not, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help you find pious spouses that you can find comfort in each other also. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Hunna libasu lakum wa antum libasu lahunna," and this shows the need also, right? The need, and at the same time, you know, you also. It's protection. When you wear clothes, you protect your aura. You protect yourselves from the extremities, the heat and the cold. You find comfort when you wear your clothes. And so the same way with your spouses, you find comfort with each other, and you protect each other, and you help each other, and you find a sakina, which is comfort and tranquility in each other also. And also it's to protect each other from, you know, some of the things, you protect your aura, right? And so there's no one who's perfect. No one's perfect. And so your spouses, you know, they're the ones who know you better than anyone else, because they're with you the majority of the time. And so they know your faults. They know your secrets also. And so you protect each other also in that matter, in that area also. And, you know, when you protect each other also, you help each other to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, when you're wearing clothes, it's that marriage itself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describing this, that your wives are clothing for you. Of course, this is a description of marital relations, but it's also a description of the relationship between husband and wife also. And that's why the need for each other is very, very great. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, "Ya ma'ashara shabab, O youngsters, man istata'a minkum al-ba'a falyatazawwaj. Whoever is able to get married, then let him do so. فَإِنَّهُ أَغَضُّ لِلْبَصَرِ," because it helps you to lower your gaze and protect your chastity. Protect your chastity. And so you protect each other's chastity also. And so it's protection. Clothing is also, your clothing for each other, it's protection for each other also. And of course, it helps you to remain, it helps us to fulfill our desires and our needs. Just like our clothing, of course, we need clothing, but it also helps us to fulfill our desires. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you this blessing, this is a wonderful blessing. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the marital relations, and mentions also the relationship and of the husband and wife, and the reason for it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Wamin ayatihi," and amongst his signs, the signs of Allah, "An khalaqa lakum min anfusikum azwaja," "An khalaqa lakum min anfusikum," that he created from yourselves spouses, "litaskunu," like wives and spouses, "litaskunu ilayha," so that you may find comfort in it. "Litaskunu," sakana, also means to find comfort. So that's why the word libas, Also, believe it or not, in the Arabic language, it means comfort also. And that's why some scholars I know, when somebody translated as clothing, they said, no, no, it actually means comfort also. Yeah, because clothing gives you comfort and gives you that tranquility, a second, and a place where you can feel comfortable. And that's why your house is a maskan also, you know, a place where you feel comfortable in. So your clothing provides comfort for you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, amongst his signs, amongst the signs, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you and gave you wives so that you can find comfort. لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا So, وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً And he made between you love and mercy and love and compassion. Right? Love. The word rahmah itself is also, it's love and compassion. It's not just mercy. You know, when you think about mercy in the English language, it's like somebody's about to, you know, they're able to like beat you up or they're able to conquer you and then have mercy on me, have mercy on me. But it's more than that. In the Arabic language, it means love and compassion. And that's why the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam described the mercy that Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down on this earth. When he says, just like, you know, an animal that has compassion on its young. It's not about mercy only. Like the mother is not thinking about killing the baby or anything. And the baby is like, no, don't kill me. And then she says, okay, I'm going to have mercy on you. No, it's the love and compassion. It encompasses more than that. Not just someone able to conquer you and hurt you and so forth. No, maybe you might be in a vulnerable position, but it's love and compassion. And so to have love and compassion amongst yourself. Inna fi dhalika la ayat. You know, there's love, and of course, there's compassion, and that comes afterwards that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts in your hearts. And that in itself, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتِ لِقَوْمِ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ For people who reflect and who think. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and also that was in Surah Ar-Rum, of course, in Surah Al-A'raf, Allah says, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ He is the one who created you from one being, وَجَعْلَ مِنْهَا And from it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made, جَعْلَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا And he made from it, from Adam, his wife, Hawa, لِيَسْكُنَ إِلَيْهَا So that he can find comfort with her, and find comfort and peace and tranquility with her. And so, of course, with your clothing, that's, you know, what's, you know, when you're at home, how would you describe, one word to describe pajamas? What's one thing that pajamas have to be? Right? Like, does it have to look pretty? Like, does it have to be comfortable and warm, right? Comfy, mashallah, warm, soft. Say, you guys got it, mashallah. That's your pajamas have to be comfy, warm, worn out, nice and comfortable. Nice and comfortable. So everyone agrees, right? It's comfortable. You have to have, if it's not comfortable, you don't want it. You don't wear anything uncomfortable when you want to go to sleep. So the beauty of it, subhanAllah, that, you know, you can, it's like your wives are like, you know, you want your wives like pajamas, like you find comfort with, right? Soft, comfortable. All the things that you guys mentioned, mashallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all pious spouses. And those who are married, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make your spouses pious and a qurrat al-ayn, that when you're with them, you find great comfort and happiness with each other. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Hunna libasu lakum wa antum libasu lahunna. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alima Allahu annakum kuntum takhtanuna anfusakum. Alima Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that annakum kuntum takhtanuna anfusakum fataba alaykum. Allah knows that you used to takhtanuna anfusakum means you used to deceive yourself. Or here Allah says takhtanuna anfusakum. Allah knows that you still are God. All of takhtanun it's not in the past tense. It's in the present tense. Allah knows that you guys are still trying to deceive yourselves. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fataba alaykum. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave you. Fu'afa ankum. Allah tab alaykum here, inshallah, I'll clarify it in a bit. But it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed the ruling. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the nask happen, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave you. So what were the companions, how were they deceiving themselves? Well, they were deceiving themselves in a couple of ways. Of course, you're not supposed to sleep with your wife after you've fallen asleep, right? After you've fallen asleep. Sometimes a man would come home. You might be praying in the masjid, or you come home and your wife has already slept, and she just took a nap. And so now she feels uncomfortable also, right? So she says, I just took a nap. I don't know if I slept or not, right? I don't know if I really slept or not. And I don't know if it's really sleeping. And then, of course, the husband's going to come home and say, no, I know you didn't sleep. It was just a nap, right? It was just a nap. Why? Because maybe the husband wants to be intimate with his wife. And then so he's like, no, you didn't really sleep. You didn't really sleep. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he knows that you guys knew that some of you fallen asleep already, but you still slept with your wives, or you still ate. And so that's what some of the scholars have mentioned, because it's not fathomable. Maybe some of the companions, but the majority of the companions would not. When Allah uses the word tahtanuna anfusakum, like you're deceiving yourself. What do you mean they're deceiving themselves? They would not dare, you wouldn't dare to go against the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly, knowing it is haram. Maybe it happened, but generally when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala you used to deceive yourselves, how? It's like, how some of us, I don't know for those who have made i'tikaf in the masjid, especially al-masjid al-haram, the Prophet's masjid, or when it's like time to pray already, right? It's like time to pray already. Of course, the default is that you do have wudu, right? The default is that you do have wudu. But of course, if you did make wudu before, right? But sometimes you don't want to go make wudu again because it's difficult. Like for those who make hajj, those who have been hajj, you imagine you're going, you know how long it is to go into the masjid. And then if you need to use the bathroom or if you need to make wudu, it's so difficult. Then you're like, did I pass gas? And you're like, you did, but you try to deceive yourself because you know it's so far. It's like, no, I don't think I did. Yes, that's the truth. I mean, you build upon yaqeen, right? Certainty. Like, unless you're certain that you pass gas, but sometimes you're like certain already, but you don't want to be certain. Like, you don't want to be certain because it's going to take so long to get out of the masjid. You're going to miss the prayer. You don't want to leave the group or whatever it is that may be. Or somebody, sometimes maybe a brother's leading people in prayer and like, oh yeah, he broke his wudu. It's like, I don't want people to laugh at me. Sometimes they're thinking that, yeah, let me just, no, it actually didn't come out. Yeah, I didn't hear anything. But you didn't hear anything or you didn't smell anything. Yes, but you're certain, So you try to find excuses. And so that's the type of thing. And Allah knows best. Kuntum tahtanuna anfusakum. Sometimes a brother says, or one of the companions would be sleepy and he would wake up and, yeah, that was good. No, that's not the sleep that counts. Or he wants it really bad from his wife. He wants to be intimate with his wife really bad. You know, I can't. I know you didn't sleep. Tell me you didn't sleep. Okay, I didn't sleep. Yeah, I guess not. So they just like, and so they would sometimes do, be intimate, even though they had fallen asleep already. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Fataba alaykum. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave you. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alaykum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted your tawbah. But taba yatubu here also means a nasq. Nasq is what? Nasq is a changing or an ease that comes from as a result of the change in the ruling that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions fataba alaykum, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the word tawbah means to return, right? To return. So it's sort of like it's a taba yatubu means to come back. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when a person says assalam, when a person changes their mind, or we're not saying that Allah changes, Allah knows ahead of time. And all of the nasq happens because of the wisdom that Allah knows best. Like I mentioned before, like how much the companions appreciated suhoor. How much the companions appreciated suhoor. We always have, so we take that for granted. But when you never had suhoor before and now you're able to have suhoor, you take for granted. You don't take that for granted at all. You eat and you say, Alhamdulillah, I'm able to eat. And so the nasq itself, you know, an-nasq ila al-akhaf tawbah min Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When there's an abrogation from that which is more difficult to that which is easier, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala often describes that as tawbah, because tawbah yatubu means to return, sort of like to make a 180. Right? Sort of like 180. Taba yatubu means to return. So when you, a tawbah means you return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the ruling here also is turned 180 also. So it's flipped back the other way. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَشْفَقْتُمْ أَن تُقَدِّمُوا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ نَجْوَاكُمْ صَدَقَاتٍ in Surah Al-Mujadila. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَشْفَقْتُمْ, is it difficult for you that to give before you approach the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to speak to him, to give sadaqah ahead of time? So at the beginning, it was difficult. I mean, it was one of the conditions. If you wanted to speak to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you had to give sadaqah ahead of time. You had to give sadaqah, charity, ahead of time. And this, of course, became difficult. Imagine the poor companions, I want to speak to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like, I don't have anything to give charity to. I don't have any money to give charity. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَشْفَقْتُمْ. And this was actually mandatory before, at the beginning. Why? So many people were approaching the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, you know, if you want to, you have to give sadaqah. We're not talking about give to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, أعوذ بالله, but it's to give charity, to do a good deed ahead of time. Before you talk to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so Allah says, is it difficult? Was it difficult for you to give the charity ahead of time before you were able to converse and speak to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? فَإِذَا, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, فَإِذْ لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا وَتَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ. And if you do not do so, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahu alaykum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you don't do so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made tawbah upon you. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has changed this so that you appreciate him more. Like, you know, it's just to teach you a lesson that, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yes, but, you know, just respect his time also and have some manners with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with the Messenger of Allah, with Muhammad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching the companions also the appreciation, the ability to speak to you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so it's also, it's like, you know, for us also, if you have an opportunity to interact with people of knowledge, that's also a wonderful and amazing blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to you to be able to have that access. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fataba Allahu alaykum, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made tawbah upon you. Tawbah here in this verse is the nasq itself, the nasq. Fataba Allahu alaykum wa afa ankum, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَالْآنَ بَاشِرُوهُنَّ وَابْتَغُوا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. فَالْآنَ, now, بَاشِرُوهُنَّ, now you can be intimate with them, right? Now you can be intimate with your wives. وَابْتَغُوا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ, and then seek that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for you. That means seek some of the scholars have mentioned that by doing so, of course, you seek to have children, pious children. So by, you know, being intimate with your wives, you then to seek to have pious children, and also to fulfill your needs, and to keep yourselves in chaste, in a state of chastity. And also, it is also, of course, it is also an act of worship. And when a person has the correct intentions, and the amazing thing with Islam is sleeping with your spouse and doing something that that you enjoy is an act of worship. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wa fi wad'i ahadikum sadaqa, and in marital relations and sleeping with your spouse, there is sadaqah. And so the companions, they said, Ya Rasulullah, oh Messenger of Allah, ayati ahaduna shahwata, like one of us, we fulfill our desires, wa yakuna lahu fiha ajr, and he's going to have a reward for it. Like he fulfills his desires and he gets a reward for it. Yeah, double, like, you know, the goodness of this world, and mashallah, also you get reward for it, also the goodness in the hereafter. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ara'aytum law wada'aha fi haram?" A man, what if you were to put it in haram, like we're to do it in a haram way? Ayukuna alaihi fihi wizr? Are you going to have a sin? And then so the Prophet says, فَكَذَلِكَ إِذَا وَضَعَهَا فِي الْحَلَالِ كَانَ لَهُ أَجْرٍ. And so if he does it right, of course, does it in the correct way, then it's halal for him. Then he will have a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he did it in a halal way. And so, alhamdulillah, I've gotten a little bit over my time. There's like so much more. I think we've only covered half of the verse, but I think I've run out of time already. I'm like, I've passed my time, but it's such an amazing verse that you just can't stop. You just keep on going. There's so much benefit. There's so much benefit in it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَبَاشِرُهُنَّ وَابْتَغُوا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَكُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا حَتَّى يَتَبَيِّنَ لَكُمْ الْخَيْطُ الْأَبْيَضُ مِنَ الْخَيْطُ الْأَسْوَدِ مِنَ الْفَجْرِ. And then he says, ثُمَّ أَتِمُّوا الصِّيَامَ إِلَى اللَّيْلِ, and then continue your fasting until nighttime. And so this particular verse, I just want to, before I end it, I wanted to end, I know there's a lot more to cover, but I want to mention just the end of the verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ آيَاتِهِ لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ. And thus we clarify, then thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarifies his signs for the people, لَعَلَّهُمْ, so that they may have taqwa. So at the beginning, the verse of the of fasting, the prescription of fasting, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it obligatory, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Here, لَعَلَّهُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, may, so that they may have taqwa. And even before that, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about hudud, about the qisas, about the capital punishment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that so in order that they may have taqwa. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about birr, al-birr, which is righteousness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about taqwa. So all of these verses are about taqwa. Then the next verse, though, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions is also very important. He says, وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ, and do not consume each other's wealth in haram way, in an unjustly manner. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately speaks about don't eat the haram, don't take from the haram. Why? It is to remind us that fasting itself, when you're fasting, it is to help you have taqwa. It's not, it would defeat the purpose if you are trying to avoid the halal, which is food and drinks in the daytime, and then you're going to go and take from means and sources that are haram. Have ittaqillah, fear Allah, and have taqwa. Have taqwa. Don't just, you know, and so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about fasting, من لم يدع قول الزور والعمل به فليس لله حاجة في أن يدع طعامه وشرابه. Whosoever abandons food and drinks, whoever abandons food and drinks, and right, and he does not leave false testimony and acting upon it, meaning he verbally, being verbally disobedient to Allah or being physically disobedient to Allah subhanahu, Allah does not need you to abandon your food and drinks and your you know, and staying away from your wives. No, Allah does not need that from you. It is to help you have taqwa. So you're going to avoid food and drinks, and then you're going to take haram, money that's haram, the means, your source is also haram. And Allah reminds right away, وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ, do not eat, consume each other's wealth in haram manner. The fasting is supposed to help you to have taqwa so that you can be better Muslims and be more conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I know I went a lot past my time. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach us that which benefit us and benefit us from that which has taught us. Wa jazakum allahu khairan wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.
That was, it was so hard to stop you, subhanAllah, but your love for the tafsir and your joy for contemplating on the Quran is very contagious, mashallah. I think a lot of the descriptive words you used, you know, comfortable and soothing and reassuring, it just describes what it's like to listen to you and to be in an environment where you're teaching. So jazakumullah khair for that amazing session. We have a lot of kind of inspiration as well for our contemplation, our reflections in Quran Reflect with Dr. Mohannan. So I'm going to, inshallah, transition over, but it's such a pleasure, alhamdulillah, to have you back here for Ramadan 360. We look forward to, inshallah, seeing you virtually very soon post-Ramadan, and of course, seeing your launch of your online class, Purification Act, inshallah, later this year. Jazakallah khair.
Inshallah, jazakallah khair. It's an honor, mashallah.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Inshallah, we'll see you very soon online and hopefully in person as well. For now, take care. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi.
Awesome, Sas. I hope that you guys enjoyed. Is there anyone here that was their first time learning from Shahab Darbari? I know there's always a first timer. There's always people who are coming in new every year, and it's such a treat, alhamdulillah. What I love is having the kind of different flavors of all of our shiyukh and their own styles of connecting and the things that pop out to them and the things that get them excited. It's so, I guess, inspirational as a student to kind of get to hear them and to get to hear what gets them kind of hyped up when it comes to tafsir, when it comes to reflecting on the Quran, and to take from that what we connect with as well. So alhamdulillah, honored to have him with us. And now, inshallah, we're going to start off our Quran Reflect, inshallah, next tomorrow for Quran, for Al-Maghrib 360, Ramadan 360. We'll be having Sheikh Waleed Basyuni joining us. He's going to be having our fatwa night this week as well, and he's going to be joining us for Ramadan 360. And his topic is going to be Divine Tarbiyah, Surah Abasa verses 1 to 10, inshallah, for those who are looking forward to that. Now, today it's time to start reflecting on this verse, and we didn't even get a chance to fully, drum rolls, inshallah, to welcome back Dr. Mohannan Hakim, inshallah, to the stage, and we'll get a chance to reflect further on this verse. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dr. Mohannan, how are you doing today?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, Sister Hafsa, and everyone. How are you guys doing?
Alhamdulillah. Speaking for myself and hopefully for everyone else, I'm doing well. I'm excited. Dr. Mohannan, it's kind of fun for you. I know you were, mashallah, here for the entire session to kind of see your kind of counterparts and your colleagues, the way that they, I'm sure you come into a session and you have an idea of what you want to talk about for a verse, right? You have your own gems plan. And then they add on so much richness and so much of their own reflections. It's super, super fun. I can't imagine what it's like to be on your end. But I'm excited for our reflections, inshallah. So let's jump in. Bismillah.
Now, technically, I am... drums rolls because I am rolling the drums on you guys. I'm expecting for you guys to give me the gems, inshallah. So that's why I'm gonna turn this back on you, on the students, bismillah, because we're all collaborators, right, in this.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm gonna be sharing my screen. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. What I really want to focus on, and Sheikh Abdul Bari, jazahullah khair, may Allah reward him, really alluded to this and set the stage for this activity. He talked about the different ayat, before and after, the verses of fasting that talk about the taqwa, that talk about God consciousness. Now, what we are going to experiment right now, we're going to have an experiment with fawasil al-ayat, the ending of every ayat, the separation between every ayat. And understanding the fawasil of the ayat, how each ayah ends, is so important in tadabbur. The fawasil helps us both reflect in our minds and in our hearts. Because especially when we read with tajweed, we have to understand the Quran is not something we read as we read a novel. You know, the idea of tajweed, we always hear that tajweed, which is the proper recitation of the Quran, helps us with tadabbur. Why is that? Because tajweed is the way Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited the Quran to the Sahaba, and they taught it to their students. And tajweed is the way Angel Jibreel recited the Quran to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And tajweed, we believe, is the same way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, let that sink in, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala delivered the Quran to Jibreel, to Angel Jibreel, to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the rest of the humanity in the same format. So once you understand, once that sinks in, you understand that even the format, the substance and the style of reciting the Quran is so profound. So with that in mind, Let's look at the fawasil, the ending of the ayat, in the light of what Sheikh Abdul Bari, Jazallah khair, may Allah reward him, told us. And we are going to look for, so the activity is as follows. Again, I'm looking forward for your reflections, guys, more than my reflections. Can you see my screen?
Yes, we can, alhamdulillah.
Okay, bismillah. So I have here ayah 187, the ayah that Sheikh Abdul Bari, mashallah, tabarakallah. I think, mashallah, he was giving a great deal of tafsir on this ayah. Let's look at the ending, la'allahum yattaqoon. So, of course, this mentions taqwa. Now, I have here other tabs that I opened, ayat before and after this ayah, this specific ayah. So this is Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah number 187. There are multiple verses before that mention taqwa, that mention God consciousness. What are these ayat? Can you guys find them for me? And when you find the ayah, of course, you would recite it for us. And I wanted to complete this sentence. Taqwa in this ayah is all about blank, fill in the blanks. Taqwa in this ayah is all about this and that. So with this being said, let's see. So Ruhi, so there's ayah 183. So can you read it for us? I have an ayah 183. Bismillah. Okay. So this is 183. Can you read it for us? Or maybe India?
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Oh, you can't unmute? No worries. So,
can you... A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون.
Perfect. So, what is the reference of taqwa, or in what context taqwa is being mentioned in this ayah, أخي? Okay. So we have ثرى from Indonesia, the fruit of fasting is to be that rich inner quality in which the Quran calls taqwa. Beautiful. So taqwa is a state of the heart. Taqwa is the result of fasting. Taqwa, again, is in the heart. And you know these people who have this argument that taqwa is in the heart, so only Allah knows what's in the heart, so nobody can judge me. Of course, you cannot judge anyone. But you have to understand that taqwa is an internal state of the heart that trickles and overflows to the actions. I always give the example of a car wash. If you have a dirty car from the outside, it's been through the mud, it's been through dirt, road, and then you take that car car and you walk it, you take it through the car wash. The car, when it's exiting the car wash, it should look different from the way, from the state it entered the car wash. So there should be a visible outcome of taqwa. Yes, taqwa is in the heart, but it should trickle and show in our actions, in our behavior, in our manners. Again, siyam, fasting, is bringing us taqwa. Beautiful. What are other ayat that mention taqwa? And again, what we are doing, we are looking at the fawasil of the ayat. Is taqwa related to the purification of the heart? Yes, exactly. Taqwa is, you can argue, is the purification of the heart. Ayah 177, Hudhayfa. Let's go to Ayah 177. Bismillah. Where's 177? Oh, there you go. Okay, so 177. Again, long ayat. لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. Righteousness is not about turning your face to the right or the left. Remember our discussion earlier about the ayat of changing the qibla. I did not make this up. The ayat are already connected. You know, the gems are already there. You know, when we discussed the ayat about turning the qibla, some sahaba were confused. What about those who prayed to the previous qibla? Is their salat accepted or not? And Allah told them, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ. Allah was never to waste your iman. Your salat is accepted and it's counted for you. Now the ayah is telling us that righteousness is not only Allah here is in this ayah is not saying that salat is not important, because righteousness, salat is important, but it does not stop at salat. It goes to the other to other aspect of life. So righteousness is about belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the afterlife. وآت المال على حبه, paying charity and supporting those who are in need. والموفون وأقام الصلاة وآت الزكاة. Notice how Allah stressed again, وأقام الصلاة وآت الزكاة. He established the prayer and he is giving the zakat, and they fulfilled their promise. والموفون بعهدهم إذا عهدوا. So this ayah is telling us the ideal state of a believer is that joins both ibadah, worship, and معاملات, dealing with people. Islam does not separate between the two. Let's not have this dilemma of a person who is a good person but is not religious, or a person who is religious but does not treat others with dignity. Why not having both? Subhanallah. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was told about a woman, imra'a tusalli wa tasum wa tu'zi jiranaha, a woman who prays and fasts but she used to hurt her neighbors. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Hiya fi nar," she's going to the fire. Subhanallah, because again, her fasting and prayer did not help her in purifying the other aspect of the akhlaq and mu'amalat. And please here, let me rant a little bit on sometimes in Ramadan, we see some elements of the Muslim community, those who rush to they want to be in the first row in the masjid, and they want to catch the rik'at and taraweeh and takbirat al-ihram, but they may double park in the masjid. Yes, I'm looking at you and you specifically. Please, brother, please, sister, don't do this. Because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us in a hadith, "Man ada al-muslimina fi turuqatihim, wajabat alayhi la'natuhum." He who hurts the believers in their pathways, in their neighborhoods, their curse, he deserves to be cursed by them. Subhanallah. So again, this ayah, taqwa, and this ayah is all about integrating both mannerism and worship and not separating them, right? So you see, all of this is building to the ayat of fasting. Ula? Sister Ula? You're raising your hand? Bismillah? Okay. Not sure.
Assalamu alaikum. Sorry.
Wa alaikum salam.
Hold on. I'm doing double volume. Surah Hujarat, is Surah 49, Ayah 13 also mentions Allah, God consciousness. You know, how we made you into Kaba'il. I don't have it memorized.
Oh.
Yeah. But that's one, the one that mentions God consciousness, taqwa, very much so.
Naam. So it's definitely, and there is a connection. We are trying to focus this exercise on Surah Al-Baqarah, and specifically the ayat before and after the ayat of fasting. But jazakumullah khair, it's definitely a great ayah to mention about Surah Al-Hujurat. Actually, I have Surah Al-Hujurat here ready, but for something else, for another connection. So it's coming soon. Jazakumullah khair. Okay. I'll get back to you on this. طيب. So let's move on. So again, we are talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the khawatim al-ayat, in the fawasil al-ayat, in the ending of each ayat. Allah is telling us taqwa, taqwa, taqwa. And again, if we are reciting the Quran the way we should recite, we're expected to pause at the end of each ayah and think and ask ourselves, how does this ayah connect to the ayah before, to the ayah after? All of this is subhanallah there for us. Now, another, somebody mentioned ayah 179. وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاةٌ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. What a beautiful ayah. Talking about retribution, talking about capital punishment in case this society, that yes, a Muslim society might encounter crimes, might encounter crossing the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if a crime happened, if a killing, if a murder happened, there should be retribution. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, as much as we might hate killing and capital punishment, there is a hayat, there is life for the society in applying the capital punishment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that applying this requires taqwa. So this is Taqwa basically it comes to the rules and regulations and laws of the society. Then we move on and we have كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذَا حَضَرَ أَحَدَكُمْ الْمَوْتِ. This also mentioned the المتقين. Anyone wants to comment on this? Tara or Hudayfa?
Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Sheikh, I was about to mention Al-Baqarah 21.
Oh, beautiful. Actually, this is I have it and it's very far, but yeah, there's a beautiful So you want to read it for us?
Okay, 21. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Ya ayyuhan nasu budu rabbakumul ladzi khalaqakum wallazina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. O mankind, worship your Lord alone, who has created you and those before you, so that you may attain taqwa or righteousness.
Beautiful. So the sentence that we are, so again, every ayah has a reflection sentence. Again, we asked a question and we're trying to answer based on the reflection exercise that we're doing. So taqwa in this ayah is all about what? Can you answer, sister? What is the taqwa? In what context this ayah mentions taqwa?
Pardon me, Sheikh. Can you repeat?
Yeah, the question was, what is the context of taqwa in this ayah? Why is this ayah mentioning taqwa? Remember, we're trying to look for all the ayah that mention taqwa. Accepting Allah's laws.
Beautiful. Yes, we have to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. So we can attain the taqwa itself.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Worshipping Allah alone, the context of our creation. Remember that this ayah was mentioned before Qassat Adam alayhi salam. The story of Adam comes later in ayah number 33 or 34. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is preparing us for this. Oh people, اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. Another benefit of this ayah, that the intent, the purpose of worship is to attain taqwa. So someone can say, we talk about the end versus the means. You know, the means are worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The best status for a worshiper of Allah is somebody who has mindfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Beautiful. Type. So you mentioned 179. There is also 180. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذَا حَضَرَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتُ إِنْ تَرَكَ خَيْرًا الْوَصِيَّةُ لِلْوَالِدَيْنِ وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ حَقًّا عَلَى الْمُتَّقِينَ. This ayah, briefly, it's talking about writing wills, basically. If those who inherit the deceased, they want to make sure that they fulfill that will and they don't play around with it. You know, subhanAllah, many people, wal'iyadu billah, after the father or after the grandfather passes away, you see families separated, normally because of money, because of financial issues. And this requires taqwa. So all of these are different forms of taqwa, because we as believers, we should understand taqwa is not only in the masjid. Taqwa is not only when we are reading the Quran or attending a class. Actually, taqwa has to be in our 9-to-5 job. We have to practice taqwa when we are dealing with transactions. We have to practice taqwa when we are going through, for example, we are researching a stock, and before we know if a stock is halal or haram, this is where taqwa is needed. Taqwa is needed when you are, you know, applying for a new job. You try to see if the job is permissible or not. Does it cross any boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Again, taqwa is required for all of these. Type. And then the famous ayah we mentioned, yeah, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمْ الصِّيَامَ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِن قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. This ayah is also about being mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that it's being an objective of the fasting. Now here's an interesting question. What is the difference between 187 and 183? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in 187, Allah concludes the ayah, كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ آيَاتِهِ لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ. Hudayfa, you want to answer?
I just wanted to read the ayah.
Okay, do you want to read the ending of this ayah, akhi? Kadhalika, the end of ayah 187.
Kadhalika yubayyin Allah ayatihi lin-nasi la'allahum yattaqun.
Jazakallahu khayran, barakallahu fik akhi. May Allah reward you inshallah ta'ala. طيب, so the first ayah 183, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the believers, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, to the believers, kutiba alaykum as-siyamu kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. He's talking to them. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about an-nas, for the people, for mankind, so that they may attain taqwa. Any comment here? Any interesting observation that you guys may notice? Somebody raised their hand and then they lowered their hand. Brother, Allahu Akbar. Jazakallah khair, akhi Bilal. So in 187, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about so that all of mankind become righteous and muttaqeen, and they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas the fasting is what? For mainly for the believers. Another interesting observation between the two, in ayah 183, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was giving us the prescription to build taqwa. So fasting is building taqwa inside us. Whereas 187, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us how the believer, how mankind should use taqwa. What to use taqwa for? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here says, تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَقْرَبُوهَا كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ آيَاتِهِ لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ. So in the first ayah, we are building taqwa. In the second ayah here, in 187, we are practicing taqwa. تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَقْرَبُوهَا. Whenever there is a boundaries, a limit of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever there are borders that we are not supposed to cross, this is where taqwa is needed. How to build taqwa? By fasting. When to use taqwa? Whenever there are boundaries of Allah. And we remember the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who tells us, أَلَا إِنَّ لِكُلِّ مَلِكٍ حِمَا أَلَا إِنَّ حِمَ اللَّهِ مَحَارِمُهُ. It's a long hadith that starts with, إِنَّ الْحَلَالَ بَيِّنُ وَالْحَرَامَ بَيِّنُ وَبَيْنَهُمَا أُمُورٌ مُشْتَبِهَاتٌ لَا يَعْلَمُهُنَّ كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ. That the halal is clear and the haram is clear, but there are some areas in between that many people don't know them. فَمَنِ اتَّقَ الشُّبُهَاتِ. Again, the hadith mentions taqwa. فَمَنِ اتَّقَ الشُّبُهَاتِ فَقَدْ اسْتَبْرَأَ لِدِينِهِ وَعِرْضِهِ. Those who seek a means of protection from the gray area, from the confusing area, from the doubtful matters, then they have protected their deen, their religion, their faith, and their dignity. Sometimes you might leave something doubtful, not because it might be necessarily haram, just for your dignity, subhanAllah. I remember one of my teachers used to tell us that if you're driving and you want to make a U-turn, and you happen to try to make a U-turn in a parking lot of a bar, for example. So you might as well not make a U-turn there. Try to do it somewhere else. Try to do it at another spot, just so that you protect your reputation. Is making a U-turn in the parking lot of a bar haram? Most likely, it's not. But again, فمن اتقى الشبهات فقد استبرأ لدينه وعرضه. Those who try to protect themselves and stay away from doubtful manners, they are protecting their dignity. ومن وقع في الشبهات وقع في الحرام. Building versus practicing. Beautiful. جزاكم الله خير. Okay, so again, 183, building taqwa. 187, practicing taqwa. Other ayat that mention taqwa. Again, 189, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَهِلَّةِ قُلْ هِيَ مَوَاقِيتُ لِلنَّاسِ وَالْحَجِّ وَلَيْسَ الْبِرُّ بِأَنْ تَأْتُوا الْبُيُوتَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهَا وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنِ اتَّقَى. Again, another ayat that mentions taqwa. Okay, now let's look at another fawasil, al-ayat. Here is a beautiful fawasil fil ayat, which is la'allakum. The word la'allakum. So la'allakum means perhaps. Okay? Somebody has a question. Let me take the questions towards the end because we already started late. Let me just finish this pattern. Inshallah, we can get questions if you guys don't mind. طيب. So the ayat in Surah Al-Baqarah that mentioned fasting, there are five ayat from 183 to 187. There are four out of the five ayat that mention the word la'allakum. And la'allakum means perhaps, right? Or so that. So what are the four out of the five ayat that mention la'allakum? So we went through the pattern of tattaqoon and we found a lot of thread. We found a beautiful thread of taqwa. And that thread by itself is a tadabbur, is a reflection exercise. We have another thread which is la'allakum. So we have 184. We have 186. Okay, let's start from 183 and go move. So we have la'allakum tattaqoon. We have discussed this a lot, mashallah. Actually, we have here la'allakum tattaqoon. Also, perhaps you may attain taqwa. So if you focus on the ayat of fasting, again, la'allakum, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His own mercy, He is giving us the command and He's giving us the objective of the command. He's giving us the spiritual benefit. That my favorite example here, imagine you go to the gym and you have this weight lifting machine, and sometimes it's a machine that works on your biceps, sometimes it works on your triceps, sometimes it's good for the back, sometimes it's good for the leg muscles, and each one of those you see a human body with highlighting what muscles is this machine trying to build for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلِ الْأَعْلَى, and to Allah is the highest example. Allah is giving us, in most ayat that talk about commands from Allah, He tells us the wisdom, the spiritual wisdom. Here is telling us, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may attain taqwa. I believe you understand this ayah very well. We have heard it multiple times. Let's move on. What is the other 184? 184 does not, is the only one that does not mention la'allakum here, but the rest of the three ayat it mentions la'allakum. So what are the other so somebody is asking, also free will to choose the right path when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used perhaps. Who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us, Allah is not forcing us to become muttaqin. Allah is giving us the command, wahadaynahu najdain, He showed us the two paths, the path of the good and the path of the bad, and then He allowed us to choose. But He tells us, hey, if you choose the good path, there's a bonus, there's a benefit. You get the hasanat and you get the taqwa type. So, ayah 185, another la'allakum. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with His infinite wisdom is showing us, He's perhaps if you follow this path, you will attain wala'allakum tashkurun. What's tashkurun? We should be grateful. And grateful for what? وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. One of the objectives of fasting is that you are grateful for all the ni'am of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has given us. Specifically, again, look at what Allah says. وَلِتُكْمِلُ الْعِدَّةِ. One of the beautiful ayat that describe the state of mind for a believer towards the end of Ramadan. So as we depart Ramadan, as we get closer to Ramadan, and by the way, we are getting closer to the end of Ramadan. It's been 10 days and the days are going very fast. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَلِتُكْمِلُوا الْعِدَّةَ وَلِتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. So that you complete the appointed days of fasting. And to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and glorify Allah, عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ. So you are... وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ, and so that perhaps you might be grateful. Yes, we have a lot of blessings to show gratitude to Allah for. But this ayah specifically is talking about the blessing of and being grateful to the blessing of guidance. وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. Do we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enough for guidance? Do we thank Allah and appreciate the ni'mah of being guided? I think by now, most of us are saying Alhamdulillah ala ni'mat as-siyam. In the beginning of Ramadan, most of us were saying, oh my God, I have to fast. Now, many of us, at least on the spiritual side, are saying Alhamdulillah for allowing me to go through this exercise. That's exactly وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. طيب, moving on. And again, ayah 186 is one of the beautiful ayat. I'm not trying to get a lot of comments from the audience because, wallahi, they were running out of time. So one ayah 186, again, one of these mesmerizing ayat that on face value, when you read it, on a superficial level, It doesn't relate to fasting much. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. This ayah of dua, this ayah, ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if my servants ask you about me, I am close. Allah did not say, tell them I am close, like in other ayat. Allah says, I am close, I am near to them. I respond to anyone, to the dua, to the invocation, to the supplication of my of the person who calls upon me. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي, let them respond to me, and let them believe in me. Notice how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said أُجِيبُوا before He told us فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I will respond to them, and then Allah said, let them respond to me. Let them do their part, but Allah said, I'm going to do my part first. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي. Beautiful ayah about the fiqh and the adab and the spirituality of the dua. But again, there is a la'allahum. There is a perhaps. There is an objective of this ayah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that if you build a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through dua, perhaps, maybe you will get to reach a state of yarshudun. And what's yarshudun? Rashada is the right way, the straight path. It's the path of righteousness. And there's another ayah, again, back to the sister who mentioned Surah Al-Hujurat. There is another ayah that mentions the definition of Ar-Rashideen. Beautiful ayah. I think there are very few ayat that talk about this concept of Ar-Rashideen. And again, when you do tadabbur, reflection of the Quran, you're trying to do some kind of a keyword search. And that's why platforms such as Quran Reflect are so important, because you can cross-link the ayat from one another. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defines what does it mean to be a rashid. وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ فِيكُمْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ لَوْ يُطِيعُكُمْ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْرِ لَعَنِتُّمْ. Here is the beautiful definition of الراشدون. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانَ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. Allah beautified faith in your to you, and He decorated the faith inside you, inside your hearts. وكره إليكم الكفر والفسوق والعصيان, and Allah made you distaste, يعني hate الكفر, disbelief, and فسوق, disobedience, and العصيان, basically rebellion. أولئك هم الراشدون. So what is a rashid? Who is the one who is rightly guided? Is the one who loves the faith, who has that taste, who tasted the sweetness of faith, and he will never replace it by anyone else. So this is the definition of الراشدون. How can somebody achieve that status? فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. Again, I think the message today is very simple. One of the key words of tadabbur is to look at فواصل الآيات, the ending of each ayah. This is where we are expected to have both an emotional element, because we're reciting the Quran or hearing the Quran, and there's an intellectual element, and that's the beauty of the Quran. It has both elements. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. I really want to end on time, although there's more to say this, but if there's any questions, because mashallah, I see many questions, and I'm not trying to ignore them, but wallah, there's a lot to mention, subhanAllah.
I see some hands shooting up, inshallah, so let's take Farzana, inshallah, go right ahead and ask.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Jazakallah, Sheikh, for such beautiful reflections that you shared with us. I was just thinking over, like, when I was listening to you, it reminded me of the verse, I think it's 138, when Allah says, Sibghatullah, wa man ahsanu minallahi sibgha, wa nahnu lahu abidun. You know, the color of Allah. And what is the color of Allah? Allah consciousness. The marfa of Allah, when you know Allah. And when you know Allah, then taqwa will come into you. Yeah. Then you will eat for the sake of Allah, you will drink for the sake of Allah, you will leave it for the sake of Allah, you will punish for the sake of Allah, and you will forgive for the sake of Allah. And how do you, like, it's like the verse, the 138, it talks about the color of Allah. And how can we, like, attain this color of Allah is by fasting for the sake of Him, offering our salah for the sake of Him, punishing for the sake of Him, forgiving for the sake of Him, and even like the miras, the ahkam miras, only keeping Allah in our mind, the fear of Allah and the love of Allah, then we will never be those who are lost. Alhamdulillah.
Allah, Allah, jazakallah khair. Allah, you said it beautifully, that taqwa is really to be almost in a 24/7 relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Beautiful. I cannot say more than that. Jazakallah khair. Okay, India.
Assalamu alaikum again, Sheikh. So I have one thing to share about this ayah and a quick question as well.
No.
So what I wanted to share about this ayah is that, like, here, normally, like, you know, Allah is talking about, Allah is actually speaking to Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but here, to put emphasis on how close he is to us, he actually removed that part of the conversation, like, go and tell them that I'm actually near. He simply said, you know, sa'alaka ibadi anni fa'inni qareeb, like, whenever they ask about me, I am actually near. So he, like, he goes out of his way to talk about how close he is to us, right?
No, jazakumullah khair for this effect. And yeah.
Thank you, jazakumullah khair. And one quick question. So there was an ayah where Allah was talking about, you know, la'allakum tattaqun, but there was like a word mentioned, which was linnas, like Allah shows, you know, ayahs or signs to people. And on the other hand, sometimes Allah talks about, like, particularly like human being, like, I mean, a Muslim individual, for example, you know, kutiba alaykum as-siyam. So what's the difference, like, I mean, the two ayah that we just, you know, reflected on, the ayah number 183, I guess, kutiba alaykum as-siyam, and the second one, the one we were, you know, reflecting on for, I mean, this session, the topic that was around that.
No, so jazakallah khair. That's a beautiful question. And I think we mentioned that the taqwa in 183 is for the believers, ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, and 187 is for an-nas, right? For all of people. Now the fasting is for a believer, and you know, you have to be a Muslim for the fasting to be accepted and to experience taqwa. Now when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about here for lin-nas, he's mentioning tilka hududullahi fala taqrabuha. Allah talks about the boundaries of Allah, the limits, the, you know, the halal and the haram. Once those are being practiced, once believers who already have taqwa from their fasting, once they have the right boundaries and they observe the boundaries, think about all the roads that will be fixed. Think about all the economies that will be corrected. Think about all the greed from the world. Think about all the wars that will end. Think about the whole world that will come to peace just because people followed the commands of Allah, of the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So an-nas is for all of mankind. The first one is for the believers. Wallahu a'lam.
That's beautiful. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh.
Allah khair. And ending with the Thara. I know it's 4 minutes over, so I'm sorry for that. So last question.
Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh, Sheikh.
Waalaikumsalam.
Okay, during the holy month of Ramadan, it's easy for the believers to tighten our rein over our desires and makes us less susceptible to shaitan's whisper through fasting, salah, or any amal ibadah we are doing, because we are mindful where the reward for good deeds is multiplied manifold by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, when the blessed month of Ramadan is over, it's tough for us not even focus. We let dunya stuff attach, or perhaps some people back into their sins in the past, since the goal of Ramadan is to strengthen our iman. And the Prophet ﷺ said, indeed, iman wears out in the heart just as clothes wear out. So renew your iman. Iman is like a tree. It has to be constantly watered with beneficial knowledge, righteous deeds, and the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just as strong, healthy tree must be protected from pests and weeds. How do we protect our hearts from sins, desire, and doubts, even when the Ramadan is over, for our iman strong, even after Ramadan? Likewise, what is the objective of Ramadan itself as instruments to achieve glory and dignity? Jazakallah khair.
No. Okay. So that was a question or a comment? So I think the short answer is Ramadan, the status of Ramadan, the high status of taqwa in Ramadan is not, it's not practical to assume you will achieve it outside of Ramadan. In Ramadan, there's so many factors. It's a very clean environment. It's like, again, a gas station. We are going there to fill our gas tank with iman so that we go back to life. after Ramadan, we will dip, we might fall, but the hope is that after Ramadan, we are better than before Ramadan. That the accumulation of Ramadan after Ramadan, it's cleansing our sins, and it's really building that taqwa tank inside us. Allah Ta'ala alam.
Barakallahu fik shaykh.
Jazakumullah khair. And Jazakumullah khair, everyone, for the, mashallah, showing a lot of love and energy to the book of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala and to the reflection. I love the fact that when we asked the question, there were so many people who really connected, whether it's la'allakum or the taqwa part. So that's amazing. Let's keep on finding those beautiful threads in the book of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Jazakumullah khair, sister. Hafsa, back to you.
Jazakumullah khair, Shaykh Dr. Muhannad. Thank you so much for leading this reflection and squeezing all that benefit into such a short period of time. I didn't think you could do it. I doubted you, to be honest, especially when you whipped out all those mashallah references and links. I was like, I don't know if we can get through this, but mashallah, I appreciate that you honored the students and you gave us extra time for questions as well. And you guys, mashallah, took it to the next level with your reflections today. As every day, this is why I surround myself with good company. And alhamdulillah, through Ramadan 360, we have that privilege every single day that we have people who are so much to share so much benefit to bring in from their experiences. May Allah accept and reward you all. Just a couple of quick reminders before we close, inshallah. One is that, of course, tomorrow before Ramadan 360 at 1 p.m. EST, we are starting the 10-day Quran challenge. That's in the middle 10 days of Ramadan with Imam Wissam Sharif, who you guys met just a few days ago for his Ramadan 360 session. Please join us. Make sure that you log in through your portal and you click the 10-day challenge link. And that way you will be taken into the 10-day challenge portal with those specific Zoom links, inshallah. It's a separate one from Ramadan 360, and we'll see you guys there, inshallah ta'ala. And of course, tomorrow we're being joined by Sheikh Waleed Bassiouni, not for the Fatwa Nights, for Ramadan 360. He's covering the topic, Divine Tarbiyah, Surah Abasa, verses 1 to 10, inshallah. And we're so excited to have him leading our, inshallah, Ramadan 360 portion. And then Dr. Muhannad will be back to guide us through our reflections once again. Jazakumullah khair for being such a great and supportive community. Just a reminder once again that this is just one of, mashallah, multiple gatherings that Al-Maghrib has within a week, within months, within years. We've taught over 220,000 students since our inception in 2002. And I highly encourage you guys to support the ongoing efforts that Al-Maghrib has and the big dreams that we have to spread this dawah and this, you know, this barakah around the world, inshallah. So go to almaghrib.org/donate to support that. Jazakallah khair, everyone, for everything that you've been sharing and contributing to Ramadan 360 so far. And looking forward to jumping into the middle 10 days of Ramadan with you tomorrow. For now, take care, stay happy, stay healthy, stay safe, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.